We are. Oh, come on. Come on. We are the church. Let's do it again. We are. Never forget it. Never, never forget. I don't care what happens in our world, in our sports world or whatever. Never forget we are the church. And that's some of the theme of the sermon this morning. A secret that was not meant to be kept is entitled the sermon. Continuing Ephesians 3, 1 to 13. We all have been asked to keep a secret. Merlin, I guess this morning you were asked to keep a secret. Where's Merlin? There's Merlin. You were asked to keep a secret this morning, weren't you? You weren't supposed to tell your mom's age, right? And you kept that secret. Like, apparently at home you were going to tell your mom's age, and she said, no, no, no. Don't tell that secret. Well, we can all go home and look in the directory and find out how old she is. So what would have happened if you would have told that secret? What would have happened if you would have told that secret this morning? Would you have to skip dinner, or you couldn't have dessert, or would you have been put in jail? You don't have dessert. Man. What other secrets can we find out here? Oh, man. Well, this morning, Paul did not keep a secret, and he was put in jail for it. Most of us, at one point in our lives, were told by someone that don't tell anyone. It's a secret. Like, we don't want this getting out. Don't let whatever. You know your circumstance. Paul could not keep this secret. He was bursting at the seams to tell this mystery, this secret. And I'm going to use those words together this morning, mystery and secret. You can open your Bibles to Ephesians 3, 1 through 13. We'll be going down through that systematically here this morning. Continue our study. The first three chapters of Ephesians are foundation. Foundation to the church, foundations to who we are as believers. And then the last three chapters talk about practical living. And so next Sunday we're going to continue with the last part of chapter 3. And then next year we'll go into the practical side of Ephesians. But Paul's in prison here. Paul's in prison in Jerusalem for telling the secret. He's being tried for treason. He's waiting for trial. He's arrested because he was stirring up unrest among the Gentiles and the Jews. And they wanted to do away with him. And he was in jail. And I don't know what you would do if you were sitting in jail. You probably, I'd probably murmur and complain, but he was writing letters. He was writing letters to the churches, letting them know why he's in jail. Most of us would probably wonder, man, has God forgotten us? I'm in jail. And none of us that I know of have been in jail for telling the gospel here this morning, but sometimes in our worlds we think God has forgotten us. You may be going through tough times and you say, where is God? Has he forgotten us? Has he forgotten me? I know I have wondered, where is God? Has he forgotten us? But I love Paul and his testimony that in prison, God had not forgotten him. Let's start with verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles. So he starts off with, I, Paul, a prisoner, and then he goes on a bunny trail. If you read this chapter 3 in full, you see that 1 through 13 is like a parenthesis. It's like, I, Paul, a prisoner, and then he goes into this explanation, and he has to tell the people what's going on in his life. Why he's in prison? What brought him here? Some things about himself. And he goes on this long sentence, like verses 2 through 8 are one sentence. And he's bursting at the seams to tell this message that my life has been changed. My life has been radically changed. And I have a privilege to tell this message. and there's people I know who need to hear this message. And that's why I'm in prison, because of this mystery, this secret I can no longer keep. And we are here today as Gentile believers because Paul couldn't keep a secret. We are here as believers because Paul couldn't keep this secret. And we have friends that need to hear this secret, this mystery. We have friends that need to hear it. And when we get this secret right, in this passage, we'll find out that the unseen world goes, wow. When we as the church get this right, the unseen world either goes, wow, or yeah, right. We'll see that in verse 10. So what sidetracks Paul here while he's in prison? What derails him? He's a prisoner. He's in jail. But he's bursting at the seams to tell the church why he's there, because he's telling this mystery, this incredible mystery that has totally changed his life. It's changed his life 180 degrees. He's not the same man. And he wants everyone to know it. And he's willing to be in prison. He's willing to suffer for telling this secret, for telling this mystery. He's willing to do that. In the Old Testament, it was known that the Gentiles would someday receive the gospel. Alicia, you read the verses I was going to read this morning. Isaiah 49, it says, I will make the light known to the Gentiles, and salvation will be to the ends of the earth. It will be, everyone will know it. But it was never revealed that the Jews and Gentiles would come, be a level playing field. It was never revealed to that. And this message is a big deal back then. And we can't comprehend it. I know we can't, because for us, it's always been level at the foot of the cross. We were all equally guilty before trusting in the Lord, and we were all equally privileged after trusting the Lord. It's like a dove for us. Like, this is the way it's always been for us. We've never known anything different. That it's level. Like, we all come to Christ the same way. No one gets the basement, no one gets the main floor, no one gets the upstairs. We're all equal. We come to the Lord the same way. We don't think that way because for generations, this is all that the people knew, of that the Jews were God's chosen people. They were privileged and they were unprivileged. There were Jews and Gentiles. There were Samaritans. There were levels. And if you were a Jew, the Gentiles, they didn't have the privilege. They didn't even have the opportunity to have the privilege unless they jumped through certain hoops. And this message that had a great punch back then, we kind of read it and like don't even think about it. But back then it was huge. It was huge in that day. We talked earlier in chapter 2 about the wall being torn down, about the wall being torn down between the Jew and the Gentile, and that was huge. And the mystery today being revealed is just, Paul's just bursting with this. He has to get it out. He has to tell the people. Verse 2 and 3, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have briefly written. Stewardship, or I think King James may use dispensation, or is it the responsibility. God gave me the responsibility to share this message. It's my mission in life to share this message. He understood his mission. He knew what his mission was, and he was willing to go to prison. He was willing to die for that mission. Didn't matter what. Obviously, you're not Paul. I'm not Paul. But we all have a mission. Do we embrace that mission that we're willing to do whatever it takes to accomplish that mission? And I think as believers, we all have a mission. We all have a purpose. We were at the Thanksgiving with my wife's family on Friday evening, and we were talking about a lady who had Alzheimer's for 10 years. And we were just saying, you know, God, there's a purpose for everybody. But what's the purpose of Alzheimer's for 10 years? I don't know. I don't know that answer. But I believe that God gives us all a purpose for being here and a mission to be here. And if it's to share the gospel with one person and you're faithful in that, that's as much as someone saving 1,000 souls. Paul was bursting at the seams to share this message. He had a story to tell. He had his life was a total transformation. And each of us here have, as I said earlier in this study, we have a before coming to Jesus story and we have an after coming to Jesus story. All of us who are believers have a before and an after story of what God has done in our lives and what God is continually doing. So we have something to share. We have something to tell to the world. And as we realize, as Paul did, our brokenness before the Lord, I just love the humility that just oozes out of Paul in realizing that the gift God gave him and his unworthiness is incredible. Paul had written many letters, but God saw fit that this letter got recorded, this incredible message in chapter 3 of this mystery that he was bursting to share. Paul's conversion, we're all well aware of his conversion and the revelation that God gave him when Ananias went to tell him the message of what Paul was supposed to do. It was a life-changing message. Yeah, they've heard. I'm sure they've heard about this Paul, this Saul that is now Paul. And man, just the conversion and the difference that this man is, it's huge. It's like night and day. It was a game changer for Paul, how he was radically changed. And I was reflecting on your conversion and my conversion. Has it been a game changer for us? Are we radically different? Do we realize our before story and how helpless we were to save ourselves? And God, in his mercy, came down and saved you and me in his mercy. We all have a story to tell. Paul was a proud Jew. He had a pedigree. He was learned. He was a man of superiority. And jumping ahead to verse 8, he says, I'm one of the least. I'm the least of the least of the saints. You know, when Paul came to Jesus, there was an ever-increasing sense of humility about him, of selflessness, of I'm so unworthy. I'm so unworthy to receive this gift from God. And there was an ever-growing sense of humility, of selflessness, of it's not about me. It's about Jesus. I'm not serving myself. I'm serving the Lord. Listen to some verses in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle. And get this, because I persecuted the church of God. Paul never forgot his life, what he did. He never forgot. And whereas God forgives our past, he redeems our stories, you know, it's always there. It's part of our journey. It was part of Paul's story. The incredible pain that he caused the church, and that went with him. And he used that for a motivation and a sense of just selflessness in serving the Lord. You know, I don't deserve this. I was the one who persecuted you guys. Just the humility that followed Paul after conversion is something I want us to grasp this morning. 1 Timothy 1:15, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, for which I am the foremost. Again, notice his position he took of humility before the Lord. He said, Lord, I don't deserve anything from you. You've given me this gift. You've given me this desire and this calling to tell the Gentile world of my conversion, that everyone is accepted into the kingdom. Not that the Jews and now the Gentiles are worthy, but that they're both unworthy to come to the Lord. just the sense of humility that oozed out of Paul's life. His name that he took after conversion was Paul, which means small. Just again, his position. Meeting Christ in our lives is a game changer. You know people who've come to the Lord who've had very hard backgrounds, and it's been a total game changer. And for some of us, our stories may not be that dramatic, but it has to be a game changer. Gary sent me I get his Instagram post, and he's wondering what I'm going to say now. He's like, on pins and needles. No. He sent one of A.W. Tozer. It said, the Holy Spirit never enters into a man and lets him live like the world. The Holy Spirit never enters a man and lets him live like the world. God is constantly trying about changing us into becoming more like him. So how do we respond to the Holy Spirit in our lives? Are we radically different? At your point of conversion, the Holy Spirit came in, and he's about cleaning you up. He's about changing you into becoming more like Jesus. Let me take it a step further. How do you respond when we read the Word of God? Every time we come in contact with a scripture, we have a decision to make. Either we believe it and say it's for me, or we pass over it. Maybe we even read a verse in the morning and say, man, that, you know, I think Vernon needs that verse, so I'm going to text it to him. But I'm going to say it's for me. You know, I read this morning, but I really think it's for Vernon. So what happens when you read the scriptures? What impact does it have on you? Do we pass it off and say, you know, I really think Vernon needs that? Every time we come in contact with the scriptures, it calls for a response. Either we say, yes, Lord, it's for me, or, yeah, it's for the next guy. Verse 4, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has been now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. You know, Paul is just saying, you know, this mystery has been a mystery for all these years. And now, in God's own timing, he's revealing the mystery. God's perfect timing. God's timing is always perfect. And just to reassure that it was not conjured up by men, it was not conjured up by Paul or some theologian or some priest somewhere, but it was from God himself, this plan to reveal the mystery to Paul. And we go into verse 6, and here's the mystery. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And the gospel is the good news of salvation. That the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. That's what Paul was all fired up about. Because before, salvation was for the Jews, and if the Gentile wanted to convert to Judaism, they had to jump through certain things to become accepted into the Jewish religion. But now, since Christ, all can come to him. Everyone can come to him, no matter your background, where you're from, when you come. We're all welcome to come to Jesus. And this is what Paul was so excited about. He was so excited about the change in his life, number one, that he wanted to tell those he met, and also the secret that it's not just for the Jews anymore, it's for the Gentiles, it's for everybody. And they didn't have to go through a person or a religion, that no matter who he was or where he was from, they could all come together to Jesus. And I know we can't grasp like it hit them, but just picture in your mind that, like, say this, there was a door here, and that was the way to become, for the Jew, that was the way to Jesus. It was through that door. You had to go through that door. And the Jews knew that someday the Gentiles would be accepted, but they probably thought it was through this door here. You go through my door. You come my way. But no, Paul says, no, that door's shut. There's one door you're going to go to Jesus, and you all go through the same door. I don't know. Can you comprehend that? Say you're President Obama's children, okay? You go to your own school. I don't know if this is true. I'm making it up. Maybe they do. But say you go to a private school. You get privileges. And all of a sudden, you're used to this kind of way of life. And now it's become known that everybody gets your privileges. Everybody gets those same privileges now. I don't know, I'm just trying to comprehend, make an analogy to help us to understand the impact that this had on the people of that day. It was huge that everyone's accepted now. All one body. There's no walls. There's no walls of dividing Jews and Gentiles. So what are walls? We talked about that one Sunday. What are walls that we deal with? And I don't know if you've thought about it since, but I have. And I've thought about what walls divide us as people. You know, you see someone driving a Hummer, what do you think? You think they're, you know, what class do you treat them different? Scripture says if someone comes in fine clothes, would you seat them up front? How does it impact our world? Is there divisions? Do we not talk to people a certain, what they look like? Or may the walls come down that divide us. Verse 7. Of this gospel, of this good news, Paul says, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of the saints, that is the grace, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul again talking about this life-changing message that I get to tell others about. It was a gift that I didn't deserve. It was a gift that I didn't deserve. I deserved death, and I was given life. Again, the presence of the Lord produces an ever-growing sense of humility in a believer. And that's a challenge in my life. You know, I can think that I've attained certain things, and I've done this, and I've done that. That's not the Lord at all. The Lord is about a sense of humility, a sense of selflessness, of not serving self and my desires, but a humbleness of serving the Lord, serving the King. I am a servant of the King. I'm not a servant of myself. I deserve nothing, but I receive royalty. A real understanding of that will produce humility. I deserve nothing, but receive royalty. Paul was at a loss to talk about the unsearchable riches of God. But he took it as the highest honor that he get to tell people about this, about his story, and about how their story could be impacted by Jesus. So what is the greatest commandment? The greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and to love your neighbor, right? It's to love God and to love people. Romans 12:10 tells us how we should treat people with love, with honor, preferring one another, putting others before ourselves. So, you know, I need to look out for John's needs before mine. I need to look out for Dan's needs before mine, right? So you read this verse, and so what impact does it have you with Romans 12:10, 10:12? Read it. Or 12:10, I'm sorry. Of putting honor, preferring one another. How does that impact us? So when you read that, what comes to your mind? So who comes to your mind? How do we, in honor, prefer one another? That Steve's needs are greater than mine. So what's that look like? The Word of God causes us to make a decision. But wasn't that the humility that Paul was talking about, that I'm willing to put my needs, I'm willing to put the needs of others, the Gentiles, before my needs, before my comfort. I'm willing to share this message. I'm willing to be put in prison for this message. Verse 9, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of a mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things. You know, this needs to be told to everyone, to bring to light for everyone what is the plan. This is not a haphazard thing. This is a plan that God has intended from the beginning. It's a plan of God. Everyone needs to hear. I met a friend of mine in the mall on Friday night that I went to school with, and he was telling me that his wife and some other people go into our local high school for 1 hour a week, and they get to tell, they have a Bible study with in a public school for 1 hour a week, and they get to tell the gospel message. They get to tell this mystery to kids. Last year, they had 135 people enrolled in our local high school, and some of them came to the Lord. And one of the astonishing things is some of those people, a lot of those kids never heard of Jesus. They've never heard the story of Jesus. A lot of them, it's new, this message of Jesus. We don't need to go to Timbuktu. They're right in our backyard. Verse 10, probably the most powerful verse or in this passage for me. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. When our lives have been changed by this message, by this, our lives have been totally changed or radically changed by this message. We proclaim the life-changing message of the gospel. We embrace it. We own it. We tell it to others. We proclaim to the unseen world the gospel, the power of the gospel. When we do that, when we proclaim this gospel message, when we live it, when we embrace it, we proclaim it to the unseen world. And the unseen world goes, wow. Isn't that amazing? That not only does our testimony affect our families, it affects the unseen world. That's incredible. So the flip side of that, if we can make the unseen world go, wow, how about if we aren't doing it well? And the unseen world goes, I told you. What a mess. This can make all the difference in the world. You see, the local church is God's representative to the world, right? So as a church, we're a representative to the world. And Arlen, your challenge this morning was very thought-provoking. It's actually something I've been thinking about as well. It's what impact can our church have on our community? Like when the world looks at our church, are they looking at a body of believers that represents God well? Do we represent God, the gospel, the life-changing message, this mystery? Do we represent it well to those around us? The life-changing power of the gospel, the life-changing power is for all people. Tim, if you want to put that picture up. That's a picture I took. It doesn't do justice. It's a sunset. It's up close to my wife's home. And as we view sunsets like that, with all of its brilliance, and no two are alike, you know, sinners and saints alike go, wow. They proclaim the glory of our Lord and his creation. They go, wow, isn't that amazing? That God in his just creation has made that known to for everyone to see. And everyone goes, wow, both sinners and saints alike. The God in his wisdom. God in his wisdom has made known through creation. he has made known through his redeeming of Israel and sending a redeemer through the line of Judah, that storied line of people that the Savior came through. The incarnate birth of our Lord, the sinless life on earth he lived. The death, the burial, and the resurrection, the ascension, of preparing a home and his soon coming. God's wisdom in all of that. The wisdom in every one, that person that comes to the Lord and embraces him as Savior, and the changed life that is lived. We're showing forth to the unseen world the wisdom of God. And when we as a church, more specifically the local body, get that right, we're declaring to the unseen world the power and the wisdom of God. And they go, wow. Did you ever think that your walk with God has a wow factor with the unseen world? That's incredible. And we as a church have a responsibility to display that, the mystery of the life-changing power to the world around us. And that's the message Paul was bursting to share, the life-changing message of Jesus. Let me illustrate it this way. You can take that down, Tim. Say you want to buy a new car, and you go and you kick a few tires, and you finally you drive away with a new car. You're all excited, and a couple days later, the engine starts rumbling, and the chassis starts shaking, and you take it back to the dealership, and you expect to have it covered under warranty. But you get there, and the workers don't care that you're there. The shop's dirty, disorganized. They say it's not going to be covered by warranty, and they want you to pay up front. What would you do? I think I know what I would do. So you call the Better Business Bureau, or you call, some people may call a lawyer. But one thing for sure is you're not going to go back there to buy another car. In fact, you're probably not going to even buy that brand again. You'll never probably drive that brand again. So what was the problem? The problem was not that the dealership couldn't sell you the car. The problem was the people at the dealership forgot why they were there. They thought they were there for their own, to get money, to make their paycheck. They forgot that they were there to serve you as a customer and to take care of your needs. They thought they existed for their comfort. And in doing so, they turned off the people that they were supposed to be serving. They turned off their customers. And if they don't make a change, if they don't change their ways, the dealership's going to go out of business, because you can't treat people like that and have a clientele. The same problem can happen with the church. We forget why we exist. We think the church is for our comfort and to meet our needs, when actually the purpose of the church is not that at all. It's to share this great mystery. It's to share it with such passion like Paul did, that he was willing to give his body up for the team. In sports, we know that, right? If someone takes a hit, you say, man, you're taking that for the team. That's great. Well, Paul just took a huge hit for the team. He's in prison for telling people about Jesus. He was willing to do that, to take a hit, to take one for the team. We forget what our mission is as a church. We think it's about our comfort, when our primary responsibility is to share this message, this mystery, with those around us, in our relationships, those we come in contact with, to make disciples, to baptize into Christ, to live a life worthy of being called a Christian. That's part of it. And we'll get into that in the next couple chapters, of what it looks like to be a Christian, what the Lord expects. And to teach new believers how to live a strong life. That's part of the church's mission on earth. And if a church forgets that, if a church fails in that, the testimony of the Lord is tarnished in our communities, and those we meet, and the unseen world goes, and the unseen world laughs when we don't get it right. Do you understand this? It matters how we treat people. It matters how we talk to each other. It matters how we respect each other. Our children are watching, our neighbors are watching, the news media is watching. And the unseen world is either going to go, wow, or they're going to laugh. Verse 11, this was according to the eternal purpose that has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. Like, this was the plan all along. I didn't make this up. Verse 12, in whom we have boldness to access with confidence through our faith in him. Boldness is not rashness and just coming with how you disrespect. It's not that at all. It's faith is not just presumption that you hope it's going to happen, but we come with confidence is boldness, assurance, and faith is assurance that our prayers will be heard. We come to the Lord that way. And then verse 13, so I ask you, do not lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. So he bookends this bunny trail with his suffering, that why he's in prison. He said, don't lose heart. He said, I've embraced this. This is my calling. I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it so you get the gospel, so you have an opportunity to live the changed life that I have. He embraced his calling. Don't be concerned about my trouble. It's to bring freedom for you in Christ. Like I said, he was willing to give himself up for the team. He was willing to suffer for Jesus. You know, if we give ourselves up for a team, we may gain a win, we may not. It's temporal. But this is eternal. Paul understood this when he was struck down on the road to Damascus. During those 3 days, the Lord told him what he was going to suffer for being a follower of his. He knew what was coming. So I'd like to close on one other thing. If Paul hadn't shared this secret, like I said, the Gentiles wouldn't have heard. Sure, the Lord would have done it some other way, but Paul was a vital link in telling this message to the Gentile world. Just this week, I heard the story of how Billy Graham came to the Lord. And from what I recall, it was not a big public meeting, but it was because one person told one person, and that person told the next person about Jesus. That's how Billy Graham came to the Lord. You're a vital link in this chain to tell the story, to be bursting forth with this life-changing message. So three things I want to leave you with as we close. We live the mystery. We live the mystery. A radically changed life of not serving ourselves and our comforts, but to become a servant of Jesus Christ. You're the only people, you're the only Jesus some people will know. We live the mystery. Number two, we proclaim the mystery, the life-changing message by word and deed. Faith without works is dead. And we share it with those we're not comfortable with. Paul, when he was blind, was told that you were going to share with the Gentiles. You think he was comfortable going to the Gentiles? I don't think so. So we live the mystery, we proclaim the mystery, and we anticipate suffering. We have brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering for Jesus today. We take up our cross and follow him. No, we don't bring things upon ourselves just to call it suffering. But whatever comes our way, in faithful service to our Lord, we embrace it and we give it to the Lord. The words that Jesus has said that he will give to his children, when they come to glory, it says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So as you think about this great mystery this morning and the impact that our lives have on the unseen world of displaying the manifold wisdom of God, God's plan of redemption, God's plan that this story is for everybody. And we all come through the same door at the foot of the cross. And thirdly, I like to leave you with the humility of Paul, the ever-increasing humility of recognizing that he was incredibly undeserving of the gift that God gave him. And that affected his life in huge ways. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just your word and how it's powerful and sharp and just speaks to our hearts. And this morning we think of just your servant Paul and how he was bursting to tell the story of redemption in his life. And he just couldn't wait to tell those around him. Lord, speak to our hearts in areas we've been lax and fallen asleep, and in areas we may have been serving ourselves and meeting my own needs, serving you for selfish gain. Lord, speak to our hearts and whatever you have for us this morning. Lord, we are humbled to be a child of yours, and like Karen said, the privilege to have you live in our hearts, an awesome privilege to know that you are with us, but you never want us to be the same. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.